the tree and its fruits, and AKA, what I like to call it is the false prophets, as we'll be looking at this morning. Last week, Sister Carla spoke on the two kinds of choices. We read about the narrow gate and the wide gate. And to briefly recap, we have been on the journey on the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus, according to Jesus, there are only two ways, hard and easy. There's no middle way. Enter by two gates, broad and narrow, no other gate. Different kinds of crowds, large and small, and two destinations, life and destruction. Now you may wonder, and a lot of us can relate to this, most people consider things that of the economy, the social aspects, the personal finance, the safety, health, politics, and social values to be of much more important in our lives, and that's the reality. Even though each of these can only affect us as for a short period of time at the most, we give more consideration to these things because they actually affect us now as we live our lives. They are actually the outward things that most of the time can be threats to our well-being. In fact, it can be threats to our physical well-being. But in this passage that we'll be looking at from Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20, Jesus actually warns us about those who can actually affect us internally and spiritually by presenting false and distorted truth, and ultimately getting us to believe all the lies, twisting God's words, leading people astray. And so as we continue to look at the Sermon on the Mount, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 15 to 20, if you have your Bible or your app with you. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. So out of this passage, I would like to give a brief direction on what I'm speaking on this morning. In this passage, we have the first thing is two kinds of prophets, as we read earlier. True prophets and false prophets. Good fruits and bad fruits. And again, we're seeing the theme of two choices here. Jesus is giving us two choices. You have a choice, serving God and money, the things of this world, the pleasures of this world, or God. And so, as you look at this, I just want you to pay attention to a few highlighted words as well that I'll be speaking on. I want to tell you a little bit of a story, actually, just to kind of give you a background. I believe that we all have our own experiences when it comes to deceptions and the lies that actually we hear. And, you know, the biggest thing we actually get deceived and get lied at is actually through social media. But last year, I got a bunch of phone calls, and you probably might resonate with this. One of those phone calls was about this guy. I don't know where he was from, but he called me up and he says, I have a prophecy from God. And God told me with discernment and consideration that you should marry my daughter. And I was in shock, of course, because I already was in a relationship. And I'm like, how did you know that God told you that? Oh, that was this, he's been giving me visions, all these things. And it was so random, it was unexpected. And this is one of those examples where actually, like, God's name can get used a lot in vain, right? We read in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, like, God's name is being used in vain, and this is what Satan does through people, actually distorts the truth and the lies. And so as we continue to look at the trees and its fruits, and especially the false prophets, I just encourage you to kind of reflect on your own experiences. Where have you been? What have you been affecting in your life?
all the things you see on social media, and now these days, TVs play a huge role in our lives with people claiming to be who they are, but they're not actually who they are in reality. And when Jesus says, be aware of false prophets, assume that they actually already existed. And in fact, we see in the throughout the biblical history, especially in the Old Testament, God constantly reminded the people of Israel through his leaders, especially the prophets, who keep reminding them to not be led astray, to not worship other gods of other nations, to not fall into the trap of the traditions and the cultures of other nations. Now, it doesn't make sense for us to put up a sign on our doorstep, on the fence, on our gate, saying, beware of dogs, if all we have is cats and birds. So Jesus gives us a warning here that a different type of people will actually arise. In fact, when he actually said this, people actually already arose. The false prophets already came prior to his arrival, during his ministry, and even after his ministry. And we see also in the New Testament, Paul reminds the churches of the danger, the threats of false prophets, people actually coming, pretending to be self-proclaimed Christians and shepherds, and ultimately leading other people astray. We look at the first point is true prophets. And why is it true prophet? It's because true prophet is actually called by God. It's a messenger by God, a messenger of God. And so a true prophet actually speaks for God. A true prophet, in contrast to false prophets, teaches the truth by divine inspiration. And so when we hear the word prophecy, and I know that first thing that comes to mind when we hear about the prophecy, we think about the foretelling, right? Like the future events, I mean the anticipation of something that's going to happen, and we anticipate whether it's going to be fulfilled or it will come true or not. But prophecy doesn't only necessarily mean foretelling of future events. It can also just simply mean the message of God at a certain time. And so when God spoke to Jeremiah, and we read in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16 here. I thought I had a verse earlier. Okay, I don't. This is what the Lord says, the Almighty says, do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hope. They speak visions from their minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. Now God is a merciful God. God is a God of justice, and he loves justice, and he wants reconciliation. He wants to bring us, he wants us to be closer to him. And but sometimes, a lot of times when God says about the coming of the false prophets, actually the false prophets actually try to impose God's own ideologies and his will on people. But the unfortunate reality is that God probably has a different will. God has a different purpose for us. And so they twist God's word and saying, oh, it's okay if you do this. You have peace. No harm will come to you. But in reality, the Israelites actually kept messing up. And they were on the verge of facing judgment from other nations, being led astray. And so we move to the next one, is the false prophets. And so false prophets, we get it from the Greek pseudo. The English pronunciation, we don't pronounce the P word, so it ends up being pseudo. But Greek word, actually, they pronounce everything. So pseudo, or as plural, is pseudos, means it's lie. So false prophets technically simply actually means liars. They are liars. Now in first century Palestine, and I wanted to look at it here, verse 4, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And now in first century Palestine, the wolf was naturally the enemy of the sheep, right? And which were entirely defenseless against it. So as a good shepherd, as Jesus was about to teach later in the Sermon on the Mount, was always on the lookout for wolves in order to protect his sheep. So he gives them these metaphors. The wolves are the ones that are coming to attack us, trying to tempt us. So it's Satan through the work of the people. And we are the sheep. And so a lot of times when Jesus refers to us being sheep is sheep are very vulnerable and sheep are very gullible. And they can easily fall into the trap of deception of wolves. And when it says he was always on the lookout for the wolves in order to protect his sheep, whereas the higher laborers, or as we call it, the time-serving professionals, they were not actually the sheep owners. They actually didn't care about the sheep. And so they were abandoned, those sheep, somewhere else, leaving the wolf to attack and scatter the flock. So the good pastor feeds the flock with truth and false teachers like a wolf divided by error, while the time-serving professionals does nothing to protect it by abandoning it to false teachers. And that's a very unfortunate thing. What I'm about to illustrate or give you kind of a visual in the next few slides might surprise you because these days we are exposed to social media, and so we're seeing a lot of movements, as we call it, the spiritual movements, revival movements, or certain preachers, you know, as we call it, on the TVs, trying to get followings, and very well-known preachers these days actually get it out there through the social media, and a lot of times actually people actually follow these things without even knowing the truth that is behind them. And so Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verses 29. Know that false teachers or vicious wolves will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. We also read in Galatians chapter 3, and now, just one of the examples, like Paul keeps reminding the churches, right, of the danger, the threats of falling into the trap of deception and false prophets. Not only those days in the people in Galatia, in one of the missionary journeys of Paul, he already went to them, visited them once, and by you know the power of the Holy Spirit, they received salvation. They believed Jesus to be the Messiah. And they were no longer, you know, living with the law, you know, that the Pharisees were teaching. But then again, they actually were led astray. And so Paul says in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be after starting your own lives in the Spirit? Why are you not trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it?" They were being led astray by a group of people, a sect of religious groups, the Judaizers. And Judaizers are a bit slightly different than the Pharisees, but they kind of have some similarities in just in general. They were being led astray to go back to the idea of the law, who taught that the Jewish leader who taught that Gentiles must be circumcised and follow the law to be truly saved. All these legalistic things. And so the Galatians fell astray and misled as a result of this deception. I want to show you a visual example, as we call it, the modern examples of false prophets, as we may see, or may have seen in the past. And one of that has been an example of a prosperity gospel. And you probably have heard it a lot of times, even on social media, through documentaries. Prosperity gospel, so what is it? The prosperity gospel, also known as the health and wealth gospel, or by its most popular brand, or the Word of Faith movement, is a perversion of the gospel of Jesus that claims that God rewards increases in faith with increases in health and or wealth. Prosperity gospel is ultimately the result of twisting God's word. And we read in Genesis chapter 3, where in the Garden of Eden, Eve, right? That's where all the story all began. The serpent came and starts deceiving Eve and twisting God's word. And it says, if you eat this fruit, your eyes will be open. You will see, you will be able to distinguish the difference between the right and the wrong. And it sounded so good to be true. And it sounded so convincing that Eve actually fell into the trap. If you eat this, you will surely not die. And this is what this prosperity gospel does. This theology says that in no certain terms, sure, Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sin and offer you heaven, but what he really wants is to make you healthy, wealthy, and happy on earth. And that is the lie from the pit of hell. Originally as an offshoot of Pentecostals in post-World War II in America, and it's a group, a movement called the Revival Movement, or we call it as the Healing Movement, gained a larger following through the use of radio and the TVs and television. It became well-known in the 1980s with the what we call the term televangelism, and so that's where it all began. And so I want to give an example of a person named Benny Hayne. You probably know this guy. And you know, as I was preparing for this, my heart felt really heavy, honestly, preparing for this. Because one of the biggest job of a pastor, a shepherd, or anyone as a Christian in general, preaching the good news is to tell the truth and to do this with integrity and respect and gentleness and exposing the truth. And when I found out that this man, Benny Hayne, being exposed as the false prophet, being seen as someone who has been deceiving people, it broke my heart, because many years ago when I first came to Canada, and then along with other Korean people as well, probably can resonate with this, is that we're already kind of struggling with English. So to be approached, to be hearing about these things on television, you know, meant a lot for us. But without even thinking about the background, the context, you know, the historical background of those people, we actually believed, we thought, wow, this man is amazing. Like, he's healing all these people. And people are like, the demons are being cast out of those people. The lame are finally walking. The blind are getting healed all of a sudden. And I'm not saying that I don't believe in all these miracles. I do believe that God works miraculous ways through the power of His Holy Spirit. But it's actually the people who actually pretend to be some people who are in actually power and authority to do these things. Benny Hayne was the kind of the leading, the person who was holding revival meetings in at stadiums, actually at larger stadiums and throughout the countries. And this is one of the events where people actually go to the line up to the front and get and praying and for healing. And you'll know that one of the things, the biggest thing in fact, actually about the prosperity gospel is the donations, you know, the things you have to give in order to receive something. And I watched a documentary about this, and it's really struck me. One of the preachers said, one of the victims who actually fell into the trap, said, well, you know, I gave a lot of thousands and thousands of dollars, but my sickness didn't get healed. In fact, it got worse. Well, then the preacher said, oh, well, you didn't have enough faith. So then in order for you to be healed, you have to give more donations and offering. And then it just made me really mad that a person of God, actually a person who claims to be working for God, on behalf of God, as a shepherd, as a preacher, would say that. Costney Hayne, a nephew of Benny Hayne, finally couldn't live with it. and finally spoke out. Cousin, he is also a pastor serving as well in the U.S. as well. The nephew of Benny Hinn, he actually walked away from this movement or the dangerous, deceitful crusades ministry of his uncle, Benny Hinn. He said in an interview about his experience with prosperity gospel, and this is what he says. Prosperity theology abuses and exploits people. It drains money from the poor. It gives false hope to already hopeless people. Instead of giving people what they need the most, or rather, whom they need the most, which is Jesus, it hooks them to a promise of fulfillment that always seems to be within their grasp if they'll just give one more offering. If they'll just give one more offering. It's really sad that when we see all these preachers, and I'm not saying materialistic things are like the biggest issue here. It's the work ethics, it's the attitude, it's the way they approach people, thousands and thousands of people who are actually gullible, who are actually vulnerable, who are actually thinking that by giving, by imposing their own kind of desires, they're imposing their own money and materialist things on God, that they will receive something back in return. And you know why? It ultimately leads God as a puppet, right? Think about it. God becomes the puppet. God becomes the robot because we're giving donations, all this, so then we expect something in return. And sometimes we miss the idea of being obeying and obedient to God's calling and trusting in His providence. Actually, we actually do the opposite. And a lot of those times, actually, these preachers actually make it so true and so hopeful for those people. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when people will put up with sound doctrine instead to suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. The purpose of Jesus coming to the earth and dying on the cross for you and I, and so that we may recognize our sins and confess and surrender through the hope, through His grace, and through His mercy. Jesus didn't come to give us the happiness of this world, which is temporarily, which is limited to our own worldly circumstances. He came to make you and I holy. Amen? He came to call you and I to be obedient to His calling. But you see, false prophets like to destroy the truth of the gospel and twist God's word. And we see them everywhere around us. We see them through the example of Jehovah's Witnesses and founded by Charles Chase Russell. And you probably have encountered them knocking on your door. Hi, we are the messengers of God. We're coming here to tell you the good news. Or the Mormons, you know, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, founded by the Joseph Smith. Jehovah Witnesses, they don't believe that Jesus is God. Jesus is not God, and that there is no scriptural basis for the Trinity doctrine. They don't vote. They don't go into the military service. They don't believe in blood transfusions. They don't celebrate birthdays, and they don't celebrate Christmas. And the list goes on and on and on. So different than our true God, the one Jesus that we worship. Mormons, on the other hand, also teach that Jesus and Lucifer are actually brothers. Lucifer means Satan. Sons of God named Elohim, it's the name of God. The goal of Mormonism is to teach the same state and become gods. We become our own gods. And one day, at a certain time, we will become gods and rule our own planets. And that's what this is totally false. This is totally a lie from the pit of hell, because it's twisting God's word. And sometimes when people actually are fall vulnerable and these things, say, wow, I get to get control of my life. I get to control the things around me. I get to be my own God. And so Jesus changed his metaphor from sheep and wolf, as we read in the the previous verses, to trees and their fruit. And so that's something I would like to also touch on as well. So there's two parts: sheep and wolves, false prophets, and the trees and their fruit. So as we read in the last portion of the passage, Jesus tells us how we can identify, right? You will see them. He doesn't say you might see them. He says you will see them by their fruit. by their actions, the way they live their lives, you will for sure, and even if you don't see them right now, eventually you will see them. You can identify who is a false prophet, who is distorting the truth, who is leading people astray. And one way we can do that is to look at their fruits. Sometimes we may mistake a sheep for a wolf, but a tree cannot hide its own identity, can it? A tree is determined by its fruit, and the fruit determines the tree. And so we read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 to 20. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Now Jesus refers to himself as the vine, right? And thank you, Sister Carla, for providing a very wonderful song about the vine. And that's what Jesus is. He refers to himself as the vine and we're the branches. So everything that Jesus does here and throughout the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 to 7 here is everything's ultimately pointing back to him. And we also read in the Beatitudes as well, things actually tend to get repeated over and over again. The same thing actually get repeated over and over again. The two choices here, the bad fruit and the good fruit, the bad tree and the good tree. And so one of the things we can do that is by looking at the character and the conduct of a preacher or how we can identify a false prophet. Character. To be Christ-like is to have the fruit of the Spirit. Everything that we do, it should be Christ-like. It should imitate Christ. And so Galatians 5:22-23 says about all these love, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, gentleness. So whenever we see a teacher being meek, a teacher with being gentle, his love, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his self-control, we have reason to believe that he is a true prophet. But if we suspect that all these qualities are missing, then the prophet is a false one. And the second one is conduct. Action. We need to ask the prophet, the teacher, we need to ask ourselves if the preacher or the prophet is teaching sound doctrine. Because sound doctrine is basically biblical truth, something that is inspired by God, man-made. It's based off of the Bible through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to ask, do they affirm the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do they affirm that Jesus is God? Jesus is the Son of God. And so the fruit we are to look for is the fruit of righteousness. So we need to ask these following questions. Do they exhibit by both what they say and what they do the fruit of true righteousness, as Jesus has explained all the way through the Sermon on the Mount? Does their character match the Beatitudes? Are they poor in spirit? Are they mournful? Are they meek? Are they hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Are they merciful? Are they pure in heart, and are they biblical peacemakers? How do they respond when they are persecuted? Do they have joy when they suffer for the sake of Christ? Or do they have an attitude of revenge and plotting how to get even? Do they have an effect on the non-Christian world as salt and light? Are they quick to condemn others that do not meet their personal standards? Or are they humble in their approach to brothers who are in sin and strive to help them find, strive for them to help them live for Christ? And so the only thing that the batteries are good for is fire, as we read in the previous verse, the last verse, the tree that doesn't bear good fruit gets thrown into the fire. And so when Jesus gives this metaphor to refer to the talk about the fire, the tree getting thrown into the fire, he refers to the future judgment of false prophets. So I want us to just pause for a minute and to look at to reflect around us what are the some of the experiences we have gone through in our lives. And I believe that you probably might have a feeling that Jesus is probably talking to the prophets or the pastors or the shepherds in general. But I believe that Jesus is talking to one audience, but the audience is divided into two. So the sheep and the people who are actually in power or in authority, meaning they're preaching the good news of Christ, the pastors, the preachers, the prophets, who are actually being held accountable for their actions, for what they do. Because the scripture says that actually one day they will give an account for the things that they have done. So to ask ourselves, are we bearing good fruit or bad fruit? Or have we fallen into the trap of false teaching? Have we been exposed on social media, through television, to believe in things that are not the ways of God? We see that these preachers living a lavish style, private jet, driving Mercedes, Bentley, huge mansions. Now, that's not the biggest issue. Is the issue again is their doctrine, the way they teach, the way they approach, the way they share the good news, the gospel, leading people astray into thinking that they can impose their own ideologies on God. And that is not really helpful. And it is dangerous. It's the greatest threat to the church. And it's the greatest threat to the followers of Jesus Christ. So in light of all Jesus' warning of the false prophets, how we ought to identify them, how then should we respond? The first one is to always be on our guard. If a Jehovah's Witness comes to knock on your door, be ready to give answers to the things you believe. Because if we do not, we will be led astray. There's something called apologetics or debates. And these things actually help us for finding out the scripture and the things that we believe in. And so that when it comes to an encounter with certain religious people who are not actually true prophets of God, when they encounter, when we face them face to face, then we have every reason that we believe in to tell them the truth. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Another way we can do this is to be on guard is to read our Bible. And I must say that sometimes I can fall easily into the trap of temptations on social media. You know, you see some people who actually sound really cool, who are actually doing so well financially in their ministry. Their ministry seems to be fruitful and all these things. But ultimately, we need to look at ourselves, where God has placed us in our lives here at Living Hope Church, to focus on the things that are fruitful, to always be ready for the threats to the church. And the second one is pray for God's wisdom and discernment. Pray for those who are actually being led astray, right? And it is always not an easy thing. You say, oh, you have messed up. You should have known better. It's easy to say that. But there's always a chance. There's always an opportunity for them to come back to the Lord. And so one of the things we do that is to pray for those people. Pray that they will come to be convicted. Pray that they will be able to distinguish the right and the wrong. Because a lot of times those people actually fall into the trap. Those people that actually fall into the temptations actually have lack of knowledge. They're not well informed. And when they're informed, it's by the false prophets, it's by false social media, it's all the lies from the televisions. So our job is, as the ones worshiping our one and only God, our powerful and mighty God, the true God, our job is to also encourage them, lift them up, and pray for them. And also pray for those who are actually preaching false teachings, false doctrine as well, that they will be convicted. Now, I give you an example of Benny Hinn. It's just one of the examples, right? You probably might have to do some more research to go and dig into more of other individuals who might be exposed, who might be seen as false prophets. And there are actually lots of examples. Pray for those who are being led astray. Pray for wisdom and discernment. And as I conclude, I would like to invite the worship team to come up. Jesus keeps repeating himself. Jesus keeps on delivering two choices to give us, making two choices. He doesn't really impose and force his own ideologies on us. He wants to give us a choice. And we read about the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit bearing, the tree bearing good fruit. And so it always comes back to Jesus ultimately. And he says that in the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, about unless your righteousness surpasses all the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so our righteousness, true righteousness from God, should be practiced and embraced. And we should continue on imitating Christ as he has set our examples for us. So John 15, verses 1 to 4 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Amen. So let's continue to remain in me, in Jesus, and abide in him, and ask him for wisdom and discernment. Ask him to empower us his Holy Spirit, so that we can be on guard and to be always be ready for the works of Satan, to defend against it and to defend against the false doctrine and the false prophets. And let us continue to be fruitful as Jesus has taught us.